It occurred to him, as he led the way back up to command deck, that perhaps he should have brought along an escort. What if Zuckerman got violent again? Surely he wouldn't, but all the way up to command deck, his neck prickled at the thought of Zuckerman behind him. He met Lieutenant Commander Dockery coming down the ladder from command deck and came to attention.
What is it, Ensign?
Sir, we have a real problem. Permission?
Go ahead. Wait, who's that with you?
Chief Zuckerman, sir. There's been an incident.
I know you called for security. At ease, both of you. Spit it out then, Ensign.
Baron spit it out, aware all the time of Zuckerman, his age, his seniority, his record, standing there looking entirely too confused still. Dockery glanced at Zuckerman.
Well, Chief?
Commander, I don't know quite what happened.
Did this individual attack you?
I think so. Yes, sir. He did. I can almost see it.
Dockery gave Baron a look he could not interpret.
Did you do anything with the chief, Ensign?
No, sir.
Was he sedated by security?
No, sir.
You came up here with someone you're accusing of assault without sedating him or putting him under guard?
Sir, he'd calmed down. He wasn't...
Dockery touched one of the comm panels on the bulkhead.
Exo to med. Stat response team to my location. Ensign, the chief is clearly not himself. He needs medical evaluation prior to anything else.
I feel fine, Commander.
Indeed, Zuckerman looked like the model of a master chief.
I'm sorry to have upset the ensign. I'm not sure why...
Just routine, Chief. Just a checkup. Make sure you aren't coming down with something.
A team of medics arrived, carrying crash kits.
Chief Zuckerman's had a little spell of confusion this morning. Why don't you take him down to sick bay and check him out? He might need a little something to calm him.
There's nothing wrong with me.
Baron noticed Zuckerman's neck flushing again. He stared at Baron and saluted stiffly.
I'm sorry, Admiral.
Baron felt a coldness settle into his belly. He returned the salute, just to get Zuckerman to relax.
Whatever you say, Admiral.
Just a checkup.
Baron was afraid to let his gaze wander to see how Commander Dockery was taking this. Zuckerman was staring at him with an expression halfway between fear and awe.
It'll be fine, Chief.
By your leave, sir.
Go along, then.
The medics led Zuckerman off with the obvious care of professionals ready to leap into action.
Well, Ensign, you've made a fine mess of things, haven't you?
Baron knew better than to protest that it wasn't his fault.
I know I did something wrong, Commander, but I'm not sure what I should have done.
Come along and I'll tell you as we go. Down on troop deck, wasn't it?
Dockery strode off, leaving Baron to follow.
And just how much of Zuckerman's problem did you know about?
Me, sir? Not much. Another NCO had said something, but he said it had been checked by another officer and nothing was found.
Did you look for anything, or did you just ignore it?
I looked, sir, but I didn't know what to look for. The times I talked to him, Chief Zuckerman seemed fine to me. Well, there was once, but it didn't seem that important.
Baron began to see the shape of his sin looming ahead.
And you didn't see fit to pass on what this other NCO told you?
Sir, I wanted to have something definite before bothering you.
I'm just as unhappy to be bothered with trifles as anyone else, Ensign. But I'm even more unhappy to be bothered with a large problem that someone let get big because he didn't know what to do about it.
I should have told you right away, sir.
Yes. And if I chewed on you for bringing me vague, unsubstantiated reports, well, that's what ensigns are for. To provide jaw exercise for grumpy executive officers. If you told me, or this other mysterious NCO had told me, and who was that, by the way?
Petty Light Harcourt, sir.
I thought Harcourt had better sense. Who'd he tell before?
A Major Surtsey, who was transferred out. He said they'd done a med check and found nothing.
I remember. Pete told me about that before he left, but said he hadn't found anything definite. Said I'd keep my eye out, thinking my officers would have the good sense to pass on anything they heard.
Sorry, sir.
Well, all you youngsters make mistakes, but mistakes have consequences. In this case, if I'm not mistaken, the ruin of a good man's career.
They were on troop deck now, and Dockery led the way to the right passage and compartment as if he never needed to stop and think. Baron supposed he didn't. The security team had cordoned off the passage, and as Dockery arrived, so did a forensics team.
Commander, all right to go on and start collecting evidence?
If it's been scanned. Come on, Ensign. I want to show you how to do this.
If Baron had not been so aware of his failings, it would have been a fascinating hour. But it was followed quickly by a less pleasant time in Dockery's office.
Remember, the chewing out you get for bothering me with a non-problem will never be as big as the one you get for not bothering me with a real problem.
Yes, sir.
Unless Zuckerman turns out to have an unsuspected medical problem, and anything big enough to excuse this would probably get him a medical out, he's in big trouble.
Something tickled a corner of Baron's mind.
sir?
Yes?
Something I just remembered, sir, about another senior NCO back at Copper Mountain.
Relevant to this?
It might be, sir, but it's not something I observe myself. It's just that when you said medical problem...
Go on, Ensign.
Baron related the story of the Master Chief whose crew was covering up for some strange memory lapses as succinctly as possible.
And sir, back on Kosciusko, I remember being told that the Master Chief in the infantry had had a breakdown after the battle. Everyone was surprised because he'd been in combat before, but he wasn't directly involved anyway.
And you're wondering what affected three Master Chiefs. Do you have any idea how many Master Chiefs there are in the whole regular space service?
No, sir.
Of course, by the time they're Master Chiefs, most of the problem cases have been eliminated. But it is odd. I'll tell the medics and see if anyone has any ideas.
But Baron's sins had earned him yet another chewing out, this time at the captain's hands.
Ensign, Commander Dockery has had his chance at your backside. Now it's my turn. But first, let's see if you understand what you did wrong, or rather, didn't do right.
Yes, sir. I knew about a problem and did not keep Commander Dockery or you advised.
Because?
Because I thought I should gather more data, keep a record of incidents, before telling anyone else.
I see. Serrano, there are several possible motives for that action, and I want a straight answer out of you. Were you trying to protect Chief Zuckerman's reputation or get yourself a bit of glory by bringing me a nice juicy bone?
Sir, I think I was confused at first. I was surprised when the other NCO told me about Zuckerman. But when he said he'd reported it before and that a major had taken it seriously, I thought it might be a real problem. Except that medical hadn't found anything. I didn't know why the NCO had confided in me in particular. It made me uncomfortable. So I thought I'd keep an eye out and document anything I noticed.
And did you notice anything?
Not anything I could put a finger on, sir. There was less respect for Chief Zuckerman than I would expect to find among enlisted, but not enough to be insubordination. I noticed that he was not intervening in some situations where I'd have expected his influence. But he'd made only two actual errors that I documented. And even Master Chiefs are human. I didn't want to go around asking questions. He deserved better than that.
Wait there. You're telling me you made the judgment. That you felt qualified to make the judgment. That Zuckerman deserved better than you asking questions about him. Zuckerman likes you, that much is clear. Were you swayed by his favoritism to your family, or were you just out of your depth completely?
Sir, I know that I was out of my depth, but I didn't recognize that at the time.
I see. And you thought you'd keep a quiet eye on him, document any problems, and bring your report to... Exactly who did you expect to bring this report to? Assuming you came up with something.
Under that cool, gray gaze, Baron's mind kept trying to blank out. But a lifetime's experience gave him the right answer even in his panic.
To Chief Zuckerman's commander in the chain, sir, which would be Lieutenant Commander Orstein.
That much is correct. And what did you expect to happen when you presented such a report?
Sir, I thought Commander Orstein would review it, perhaps make his own investigation, and then take whatever action he felt necessary.
And it would be out of your hands?
Yes, sir.
And what did you think Orstein would do with you, the pup who dragged in this unsavory prize?
I hadn't thought about that, sir.
Oh, I find that hard to believe.
Sir, no one could be happy to find a Master Chief losing effectiveness, sir. Master Chiefs are special.
Yes, they are. So if I read between the lines correctly, you figured Lieutenant Commander Orstein would chew you out and then maybe undertake his own investigation.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, Serrano, if you had found additional problems, are you certain you'd have risked the chewing out to report on Zuckerman?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's something. Let me reiterate what I'm sure Dockery told you. It is annoying for a junior to show no initiative and bother a senior with minor problems, but it is dangerous and, in the long run, disloyal for a junior to conceal a serious problem from a senior. If you had reported this sooner, Chief Zuckerman's problems, whatever they are, could have been dealt with properly in the chain of command. And I would not have been caught flat-footed and embarrassed. I presume you understand this, and I presume you won't do it again. And if you do, the trouble you're in now will be as a spark compared to a nuclear explosion. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Then get out of here and do better.
Lieutenant Cassie Ferrati knew she looked like a recruiting poster. She intended to. Every hair on her head lay exactly where it should, and under perfectly arched brows, her violet eyes sparkled with intelligence. Her features, strong cheekbones and clean-cut jawline, short straight nose, and firm but generous lips, fit anyone's image of professional beauty. It had been worth the risk of early biosculpt. All she had ever wanted was to be a fleet officer. No, to be honest, a fleet commander. She had first imagined herself in command of a starship when only a child, her parents had told her. Cassie Ferrati was born to be a hero, born to prove that a Crescent Worlds woman could do anything. Her parents had been shocked when she told them what she wanted. But at 10, even girls could speak to the sept as a whole, not just parents, about important decisions like marriage negotiations. She had taken her argument to the aunt's gossip, where her desire to go off-world was quickly approved. She was too intelligent by far to fare well in the local marriage market. Biosculpting, though, it wasn't until her father's mother approved that she knew she had a chance. 3 years of surgery, of the pain that strengthening her redesigned body caused her, and then she took the fleet entrance exams, passed them, and left home forever. Once at the academy, Cassie discovered that her new shape was not considered sexless and unfeminine by her peers. Protected by the standard implant provided all academy cadets, she moved from interest to experimentation, and from experimentation to enthusiastic activity. She was angered, rather than alarmed, to discover that some of her classmates were making snide remarks about her behavior. But after graduation, she slowed down. Sex itself was no longer as exciting, and began to consider her targets with more care. In her first assignment, she discovered that if she stayed away from men already considered taken by other women, she could hunt at will without arousing comment. So that had been it. Testing this understanding, she turned her violet eyes on a lonely Jig, who was quite happy to console himself with a lovely ensign. But he wasn't enough. She wanted someone in command track. All the command track Jigs aboard were paired already, and she was not attracted to the single male lieutenant. A major? Could she? She did not doubt her ability to get his interest, but regulations were supposed to prevent him from dallying with junior officers in his chain of command. So she looked elsewhere, which led her to a major in another branch of technical track. He was followed by a lieutenant in command track, and then by another major. She learned something from each about the extent of her talent, and what advantages could come from such close associations. Now, though, she had found the right man. Against all expectations, she had found a respectable, intelligent, charming young man whom even her father would consider eligible. That he was an ensign and she a lieutenant meant nothing to her. He was mature for his age, and best of all, he was a Serrano. Family is everything, she had heard all her life. And better family than Serrano, she could not hope to find.